Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eSchool News' podcast on the latest and greatest happenings in K-12 ed tech. I'm Kevin Hogan, Content Director for eSchool News, and I'm glad you found us. This month, we dive into the world of gaming, eSports, and the impact they have on education with our special guest, James O'Hagan. James is a pioneer in the realm of eSports education and an advocate for competitive gaming in schools. He has had a role in starting and growing esports teams in two large urban school districts and is now the vice president of education innovation at LeagueSpot. He actively promotes esports as being a medium to something more for students beyond just the games. His podcast, The Academy of Esports, delves into topics surrounding esports and education and connecting into powerful ideas to increase student agency, motivation, and career pathways. Now, I know there are still some negative perceptions about esports and its effectiveness when it comes to teaching and learning, and I hope this conversation can widen those opinions. Let's dig in. James, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time and your insights.
Kevin, thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest on your podcast today.
Well, you've always been my go-to guy when it comes to esports, and that's been, I won't date ourselves, but it's been a while. You were doing this before it was cool, right?
Yeah, there's a number of us. Really good people have been doing this before it was cool, when we would walk into conferences and there'd be three of us sitting in a room talking about esports, and we'd always get that person who would come in thinking this was going to be a session on sports in Spanish. And it's not. No, I'm serious. I did have somebody get up and walk out because they thought, they're like, how is this not, why are we not talking about Spanish? And I'm like, why would we talk about Spanish? So
right. And I think the last time we spoke was we're in the depths of the pandemic, and we were kind of talking about esports and what the work that you were doing that time was almost a bit of therapy almost for students. And it was kind of like a some way to kind of keep kids connected and get it together. And that's the phenomenon, as I noticed as a journalist, had been happening. It had been accelerating, but then the pandemic was even more. Maybe you could talk a little bit about from where you were at that point. I believe you're still with the district, and what you're doing now and where you see the state of play when it comes to esports.
Well, the great thing is that for those of us who got started before the pandemic, I think for a lot of us put a lot of things in place that allowed us to not just be models for other schools and school districts and organizations that we're trying to get in, but also having things set up so that our kids who in a state of play, you know, we know how important play is. And for a lot of them, they were getting cut off from, you know, traditional sports, that this was now a place where they could be not just to play, but also having social connections. In my own school district, Racine Unified School District, we have our five high schools. And it wasn't just kids from one high school having each other to fall on and help and pick each other up. It was five high schools working together of play and having a network of kids. You know, we talk about our networks like we're adults, but well, kids have their networks as well too. And games and video games were the network binding these kids together from across the city. I saw tremendous support, not just from teachers, but also from students of each other. I saw our public library, who realized that access is an issue in the community in which I live. I live in Racine, Wisconsin, and it is a community that has been decimated for a long time. But the impacts of redlining, for example, are still very felt and very real here. The library stepped up and said, hey, we've got the gaming laptops. We'll check them out to the kids, because we have nobody coming in anyway. It shined a lot of good light on things. And I've been very proud of the work that we were able to do, not just myself and our school district, the teachers, the state associations. This was educators really figuring out, especially on the fly, in some cases, just how important this was in building structures in place that were responsible, even though they had to rush a little bit. And I've always talked about avoid the rushed implementation. They were quickly coming up to speed, and it was a great thing to see. Even a student who's just a graduate now of Milwaukee Public Schools, George Walker, in his sophomore year as a student, launched an esports program, in the first one in Milwaukee Public Schools. And George has been a tremendous inspiration to myself that shows that the power of kids, you know, a lot of kids are kind of put, you know, we talk about this generation kind of being lost and, yeah, but seeing people like George, who's now going to the University of Wisconsin-Madison here in the fall to major in business, or excuse me, nuclear engineering, big difference.
Yeah, right.
You know, he built with teachers, he partnered with teachers to build that system for MPS. Yeah, the pandemic did a number on all of us, but I always try to look for the positives, and gaming, Scholastic gaming in particular, had a lot of positives.
Well, it seems like, I mean, you just mentioned one of the innovations that come out of catastrophe, right? Which is the student agency, where students kind of stepped up and started kind of owning their own learning and through esports as well. I mean, are there other things that when you look at esports and you look at the last 3 years, are there surprises? Are there things that you've seen that the space has taken and adapted when we went to that forced remote migration to where it's kind of enhanced esports?
Well, what I've been pleasantly surprised to see, because I'm a terrible competitive gamer. I am just awful. But the definition of esports at the K-12 level, and the people who are the professionals in the sense, kind of scoff at what the word esports has come to mean. It's kind of started to become a catch-all, where not just competitive, but now we have instances of collaborative gaming, where it still has a competitive edge to it with goals and what you want to do, but there's a lot more opportunity for collaboration. There's a lot more opportunity for people to think beyond just being for high school kids. We're looking now at where games and video games are important at the elementary and the middle school level. Minecraft has taken, obviously, you know, before even the pandemic, Minecraft was a huge game, but it has really taken the collaborative side of play to a whole new level. Even games like when I was heading up the virtual program for RUSD, some of our teachers started using Among Us as our playtime. And Among Us, I know some people have issues with the content, right? It's trying to find the murderer on the ship. But what was amazing for me to see was every day we had kids in our virtual program from across age groups coming together with teachers to play in these digital spaces and working through some very specific rules about, you know, we're going to talk about persuasive speaking. We're going to talk about, you know, working together, even taking turns because you're not in the same room. So, you know, just being able to develop social skills through games and gameplay across ages was great for us to see. We always thought of our virtual program as we call it the one big schoolhouse, right? So we had kids who were, playing together from all ages, and brothers and sisters, and even parents would sometimes get involved. So it's been, I think, the definition of, you know, people talk about esports, and I think that definition at the Scholastic level has been broadened. I think many teachers have started to look beyond the quote unquote educational titles, though, you know, for me, Oregon Trail is always going to have a soft spot in my heart. Nobody wants to be the carpenter. Everybody wants to be the banker. But you know, I think now they're looking more critically at where there is value in off-the-shelf games. You know, Stephen Reed has talked about what Red Alert meant for him as an educational tool. For me, it was SimCity was an educational tool that I used with an entire class of students. Even now today, looking at things like The Legend of Zelda and seeing the mythology and the hero quest and talking about the hero quest and talking about the different aspects. Now the educational component, people are looking at games, video games across genres in whole new lights. And that, I think, has been a huge positive as well too.
Yeah. When you think about that evolution, and then you look at the traditional constructs of K-12 education, specifically public schools and school districts, mm-hmm. when you look at some of the issues surrounding school boards in the past when you're talking about curriculum, or maybe you're talking about implementing the esports program. Lots of innovative technology and applications, but that sometimes meet what is, you know, one of the biggest kind of architectures of trying to get things through and get things going in a school district. How have you seen that evolve over the past couple of years?
Whenever this speaks to so many different things that always move a needle. And I always tell people, you can't just walk in and say, "Hey, I want to do video games in schools," because that puts in the mind of everybody at the table who you have at the table in a different place. So yeah. For some, video games are positive. For some, they're a horrible negative. For some, they only know Mortal Kombat, or for some, they only know Candy Crush. What we always need to do, and I think where the conversations become most powerful and sustainable for gaming programs, especially in schools, is always looking at the strategic goals of your own school district. Don't worry so much. Yes, there's state associations, and yes, there's places to play, but I'll give you an example here in a minute, but always look at the strategic goals